to serve. That's a good word right there. Or as Pastor Ashley has said already this morning, marked by love. I mean, we literally just took 4 weeks and talked about that, didn't we? Love God, love others. We're called to be a people marked by love. And because of Jesus, free to serve. This is exactly where we're heading this morning, and this is oh so timely. I mean, for those of you who don't know how I operate, like I prep an outline like months in advance. I'm often like 4 to 6 months ahead of schedule in my planning. And so when like something lands like it does for today, I'm like, that was God. Like you don't plan that stuff when that happens. You just know like God's in it and he's weaving things as he needs them. And so I just am so excited to be with you here in person. I'm really excited to be with those of you who are joining us online. Thank you so much. For being a part of our church family digitally, we hope this is a blessing to you and that it spurs you on to many love and good works. And yet, in this season, when we're talking about now being free to serve and marked by love, man, there are some of us where, I mean, if we're being honest, we're feeling discouraged. Maybe we could go so far as that to say is that we actually are even maybe feeling a little bit displaced, like we don't really fit. A fun story to start on that. Let me take the displaced one. I am a Esks fan. That's a football team, for those of you who don't know. And we're actually called the EE football team these days. I couldn't remember that. So I had to Google, because I didn't know if we were the EE football team or the EE football club. And so I Googled it, and I found that I still had to go to the Esks.com website to find that. So, I mean, even as a football fan, like, I'm feeling displaced, right? I had a period of my life where I lived in Brandon, Manitoba. And while I lived in Brandon, Manitoba, I had Winnipeg to the east, Regina to the west, and I was involved in coaching the high school football team, and we had fans on both sides. I was like the only Eskimo fan there, and so we would drive to Winnipeg, we would drive to Regina, we would take in games, and I always went sporting my Eskimo gear and ensured that I was perhaps the only fan in the crowd there cheering for my team. Bombers game, and I'm classy in my cheering, just so you know. Like, I can get loud, but I'm never rude. Like, genuinely, I'm not rude, but like I'm loud. But I'm at this Bombers game, and I literally had a guy throw a full beer at me. Like, serious, those are like $10, man. Who throws a full beer at another fan? I couldn't believe it. It was unbelievable. But worse, I was at a Riders game, and it was like, I don't know for sure, 5 or 6. There was like a 5 or 6-year-old boy. And he flipped me the bird. I was like, where are your parents? Who lets their kid do that to another fan, right? Like, it was like I was caught in the middle. Right? There I was, Brandon Manitoba. I'm caught in the middle. I have this loyalty to the Esks, and yet nobody over here likes me, and nobody over there likes me. And I totally felt like I don't belong anywhere, completely displaced. It's like that, but like infinitely worse today, isn't it? Hey, that's fun in games, right? But man, there's times where I just feel so discouraged and displaced. Like, I don't fit. I don't fit with the right or the left. I don't fit with the east or the west. Like, I'm somewhere and no one seems to understand me. I see people even here nodding, like, maybe I'm not the only one, right? There's probably some of you at home who feel that way. You just feel like you're, yeah, displaced. You don't belong. And in the midst of that feeling, there's these moments anyway where you're like, well, Where do you even start when it comes to being free to serve and marked by love? Like, where do you even start? Or maybe, I'm just telling you some of the things that go through my mind, but maybe you're like me and you had moments where like, is it even worth it? Like, seriously, with the state of everything, is it even worth it? Like, what's the point maybe even? Is it worth being marked by love and free to serve? Anyways, one of the things that has given me much hope is Apostle Paul worded it like this: you are citizens of heaven. Like, through faith, Jesus has made me right with God. Like, I'm forgiven, I'm freed. I now walk with Jesus. And this earth is not my home. I'm a citizen of heaven. Like, you too, through faith in Jesus, are a citizen of heaven. You are a citizen of heaven. And as I've said many times before, like, this position with God, it just starts as simple as just coming to him and saying, look, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, will you forgive me? Jesus, my life is yours. I'm a citizen of heaven. Like, no wonder I feel displaced. Regardless of the season, 2020 and what have you, like, I'm displaced, man. My home is in heaven. One day I'm going to be home. The Apostle Peter, he words it like this. He says that we are strangers, foreigners. Some translations use the word aliens. Yeah, like, no wonder I feel a little displaced. 2020 aside, right? Like, I'm a citizen of heaven. My home is with my King. And yet this side of heaven, I'm called to be a man. We are called to be a church. We, in our digital online gathering, we are called to be a people who think kingdom, who put Jesus first. And as kingdom-minded people, we're marked by love. We're free to serve. We've been in this Think Kingdom series, and we talked about our mission for the first 4 weeks. And the mission really tells us who we are. A mission tells us who we are. We are a people who love God and love others. That is who we are. Marked by love. And I want to take the next 3 weeks, and I want to talk about vision. Vision tells us why we exist. Why we exist. And there's three layers to it. And the first layer I want to talk about is that we exist. We, the gathering of God's called out ones, those who are to be a people who are lovers of God and lovers of others, we who are the church, Ford Alliance, we're called to serve, and specifically for us here in Fort Saskatchewan, we are called to serve the fort. That's our vision. Like, that's what it's about. That's why we exist. We, the church, exist to be a people who serve the fort. We'll unpack two more layers in the weeks to come. To serve the fort. And I want to talk about just that this morning, particularly in light of this world and this culture in the 2020 mess that we are in, right? Where we're feeling a little bit discouraged or displaced. And to do so, I want to take you to a passage that a number of you I know have heard before. I'm going to take you to Jeremiah chapter 29. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, we come to this verse 11, where God says to his people, a little more specifically, the people of Judah, he says to his people that God has given them a hope and a future. A lot of us have put that whole verse to memory. For I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not disaster, plans to give you a hope and a future. What a great word. It's a good word for us today. It's even better when you read it in context, though. Because it's not as pretty as it sounds from just Jeremiah 29:11. And so I'm going to take us there. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 29. And we're going to just work through this and consider what it means to be a people marked by love, a people who are free to serve or serve the fort in the midst of the emotions of the day and age that we live in, where there are some of us, myself included, have these moments of feeling a little bit discouraged or displaced, and yet keeping in mind who we are as God's people, citizens of heaven. So, we're going to start with verse 4. I could go back further, but I only got so long in these little sermons here, right? So verse 4, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, I love it, the God of Israel says to all the captives. I just want to make sure you caught that. The captives that he has exiled. Check that again. Exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. That verse, Jeremiah 29, is a great verse. I want you to understand. It is written to a people who are in captivity, who are exiled in the land of Babylon. This is not necessarily all smiles and roses, if you will. Probably the most infamous captive from the Babylonian era is Daniel. Yeah, I see some of you nodding. Good. So Daniel's fame, infamous in the scriptures, and we all know Daniel because of Daniel and the lion's den. Woo, me too. I heard that story when I was a little one in Sunday school. Incredible story, right? What a reminder of faith and what it means to be certain and sure of who we are in God and going through the hard times and coming out on the other side, right? Yes, amen to that. Just to be clear, the lion's den is the exception in Babylon, a people who are exiles in captivity. We're talking about a people group who are literally displaced. Literally displaced. They have been forced to leave their homes and move into another country as captives. It would be like me forcing y'all to move to Saskatchewan. If you're watching online, I was born in Saskatchewan and you didn't know that about me. I'm just having fun with my people, okay? No, but seriously, right? Like forced to move. Forced. In captivity. You know, we hear these beautiful, true, heroic stories of men like Daniel in the scripture, and understandably and rightfully so, but you know what? There's parts of the story that no one ever told you in Sunday school. Can any of you name Daniel's kids? No, he didn't have any. No kids. That's too bad. My kids bring me a lot of joy. But you want to know why he had no kids? He was taken as a captive. And some of your translations in the book of Daniel let you know a little bit. He was taken as a captive and forced to be under the leadership of the chief of eunuchs. You want to know one of the defining things that makes someone a eunuch? Brothers, they got cut off. They didn't teach you that in Sunday school, did they? And Daniel's a heroic man of faith, don't get me wrong. I want to be like Daniel, but whew, do I really want to be like Daniel? We're talking about a people who are living in hardship, okay? This passage is talking about people who are literally displaced and who have great reason to be discouraged. And if you think wearing a mask is bad, let me just say this real clearly. This isn't God's first rodeo, okay? He has been with his people through infinitely worse. And that infamous passage from Jeremiah 29:11 comes in that era I just described. And we got to remember that as his people. We don't stop being his people because times are tough or because we're feeling discouraged or displaced. We are still God's people. And he and his love for us hasn't changed. And as a result, we must be a people marked by love who serve. And guess what? Jeremiah talks just about that. Wondering where to start. Where do you even start in crazy times like this? Check this out. Keeping on going in 29, verses 5 and 6. To the exiles, the captives. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that they may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. Did you catch that? Where do we even start? Plan to stay. Plan to stay. Where do we even start? Plan to stay. Right here, the city of Fort Saskatchewan needs us as God's people, as God's church, probably more than ever before. It needs us to be a people who are marked by love and who serve the fort. Just because times are hard, because we're feeling discouraged or displaced, doesn't mean this call, this mission, this vision changes. In fact, it amps up. We have an incredible opportunity as God's people. Maybe the best opportunity in any of our, at least any of my lifetimes, to do just that, to be seen as someone marked by love. May we be a people marked by love. Move on in and plan to stay. Is it even worth it? I'm just saying stuff I've thought. Like, is it even worth it? Seriously. Verse 7. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you. Work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. This is fascinating to me. For its welfare will determine your welfare. Wow. To a people in exile, in captivity, God says, pray for the city where you are as captives. Pray for them. Know that its welfare will determine your welfare. Wow. I mean, likewise, I think for us today, how about it? Where do we even start? Is it even worth it? Of course. We got to be a people who pray for our city, who pray for our community. Its welfare will determine our welfare. So why wouldn't we want to be a people marked by love and serving the fort? Passage goes on. Is it going to be easy? Is there going to be moments where you're not uncertain and what have you? Of course, it's not going to always be easy. Of course, there'll be moments where we're uncertain. I mean, there's even confusion in the day and age of Jeremiah and the people who are being exiled into Babylon, right? Listen to this in verse 8. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. In this era, right, the people who are in captive are being led astray by mixed messages, false messages, people claiming to be prophets who are telling lies. And Jeremiah, one who's proven and shown himself to be a true prophet of God, is saying, no, don't listen to that. I mean, is that any different than today in the sense of, man, are we not hearing all sorts of mixed messages and all sorts of things? Yeah, of course. We have to be discerning. We have to use wisdom. We got to work through these things. But nonetheless, plan to stay and pray for the city. Be a people marked by love and serving the fort. What an incredible reminder. And understanding all this context then brings us to 10 and 11. 10, for this is what the Lord says, you will be in Babylon for 70 years. Now, when you're talking about Babylon and 70 years and the people of Israel who've been around for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years, and you're talking about people, groups now who we can go back and look at thousands of years, 70 years doesn't sound like much. 70 years is my whole life. Only 70 years. That's my whole life, God. Come on. Are you sure, God? 70 years? And then God goes on and says, for I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not disaster. To give you a future and a hope. I could go on. I want you to, in the midst of the discouragement, in the midst of feeling displaced, know God's got you exactly where he wants you for such a time as this. Plans for good, not disaster. And in the context of some horrible things, right? Plans to give you a hope and a future. Because as I've already said, through faith in Jesus, we're citizens of heaven. And as one who longs to be a kingdom-minded man, a part of a people, a gathering that thinks kingdom, we got to keep at the forefront of our minds the mission to love God and love others, to be marked by love, with a vision to serve the fort. It's why we exist. In the words of A.W. Tozer, he says this, a scared world needs a fearless church. A scared world needs a fearless church. Oh, that we would be a church in Fort Saskatchewan marked by love, serving the fort. In just a moment here, I'm going to have a song played for you. I'm really having this song played over you at home. And this song isn't just a song for me. This song is a prayer. The staff always are making fun of me, and I can deal with it. I like having a staff that can tease each other. But like, I'll put this song on, and I will march around this room. I've literally done this for over an hour just with this song on repeat, just marching around this room playing this song, longing to have it played over this space where God's people will come. And I want to have it played over you. We were at Grandma and Grandpa's this Thanksgiving. And Grandma was tucking in Parker. And as she was tucking in Parker, she asked him, what do you want to be when you grow up? And Parker said, a pastor. I need to have a talk with that boy. Just kidding. I have an awesome job. A pastor and a paleontologist. Grandma goes, maybe you can do both. Parker goes, what are you talking about, Grandma? Grandma says, you know, Parker, the Bible talks about dry bones and that God needing to breathe over the dry bones to bring them back to life. Parker goes, I know, Grandma. We listen to that song all the time in my house. It's in the Bible too. Really? Yeah, really. So they look it up and they read the passage in the scripture. And if you feel like a skeleton of yourself in this season, and there's been moments where I have, I pray the song over you. That you'd come alive. If you're feeling discouraged or displaced, you're not the only one. Like I already said, this isn't God's first rodeo. He's been with his people through seasons like and seasons even worse than this. I pray you come alive. That the breath
of the Almighty might fill you with a holy fire. That we, Four Alliance, might be a fearless church in the midst of a scared world. So God, please, over my brothers, my sisters, here and at home, bring us fully alive, where we're a skeleton of our old self. Breathe and bring us to life. Where we're feeling displaced and discouraged, down and out, breathe, oh God, in such a way that we come alive. Move in our midst for the sake of being a people who are marked by love and serve the fort. Amen.
Come alive, come alive, come alive.